So this morning I really felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I really feel like I've got a word for just a word about the season we're entering into. It's not necessarily the year we're entering into. Every year we get a new year and new season and so on, but I really felt like I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and in late hours of the night last night, and it's something that's been stirring in my heart for a while. In fact, I was talking to Joe Riddle yesterday about my message. I've been working on this thought, or a series of thoughts that I've had for a while, and I'd spent a long time putting that together, and I threw it all out at 10 p.m. last night and started again. So why don't you grab your Bibles, and we're going to read the word quickly before we sit down. I know it's like, because I don't know whether they'll get it up on the screen. I just want you to be ready. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And then I'm going to pray with you right now. I'm going to believe God for hearing us here and for those online to really hear from God this morning. It's my desire to stir something up on you. The start of that verse, in verse 17, it says, one day, Jesus turned up one day. Jesus turned up. You don't know when that one day is, but today could be that one day for you. Jesus always turns up, but there's days when he really turns up that you discover that he turns up. And normally what we discover is that he was there all along. It wasn't that he was missing. It was that we didn't see him. So I want to pray that this morning our eyes would be opened, that in the midst of our today, as we prepare for our tomorrow, that we would have a one day moment where we would be, I see God is at work in our lives, in and through whatever it is we're facing, that God is at work. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come around your word this morning, may it be that your word becomes alive to us. May it be that your word literally becomes a part of us this morning. Turn the lights on so that we can see what you are doing in this world today. Turn the lights on so that we can understand your ways. Turn the lights on so that we can live in the way you have created us to live. Turn the lights on that we can see that you are doing exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ever ask, hope, or think, according to your mighty power that's at work within us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody agreed together and said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I better turn on my notes. I love that song, Waymaker, because God is a waymaker. He makes a way where there is no way. He turns things around. He changes our situation and circumstance. And this little passage that I want to look at, or I feel we need to look at today, Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. It's a text, or it's a little passage. It's a part of an ongoing story that Luke is writing about the miracles, introducing the gospel, introducing the kingdom of God. Luke has been very, very specific. He could have written many different things down, but it was these things, as you read through, that the Holy Spirit inspired him to write down. And today we're going to look at one of the events that Jesus found himself in the early days of his ministry, in the early days as he started off, and it was to explain. And the purpose of the miracle and the things that went on was to explain the coming of Jesus and what he came for and what that means for you and I. So in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26, it might come up on the screens there. It says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting there nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up on the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered down the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, and so he asked them, Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? Or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everybody watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. One of the greatest understatements in the Bible. We have seen amazing things today. If a paralyzed man got healed in front of you today, I doubt if you'd be going, oh, we have seen amazing things today. And I don't think that's what Luke was trying to get across. I think Luke was trying to get across, wherever Jesus turned up, amazing things happened. Wherever Jesus turned up, the talk of the town was, oh my gosh, were you there? Did you see? Were you a part of that day when Jesus healed that paralyzed man? And I love this little passage in so many ways. I love what it's talking about, and it's ties in with what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about right now, about what he wants you and I to understand about the season. There are seasons in God, and I feel like we are moving into a fresh season. I feel like we're moving into a new season and a new way and a new understanding. I don't think that it's anything really super new, but it's a new for us. It's a new opportunity. It's actually trying to stir up a truth that's been there all along, that's always been with us, but that we have not seen nor understood at times. Maybe we once saw it, but we've forgotten about it. And it's simply this, that God is still a miracle working God. I feel like we're coming into a season of miracles. I feel like God wants to break through. You say, well, I believe that and I've seen that and I've lived long enough. Hey, it's time to start continuing to believe it and to begin to understand it, that God is at work even in the midst of my circumstances when I don't see it. I want you to see what's going on here. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. I might point out that nearly always there is someone or there's a spirit that often rises up. These people weren't necessarily bad, and I'm not saying and I'm not suggesting they were, but often you find teachers and Pharisees type people that turn up wherever Jesus is. They are people that know stuff but don't know stuff. There are people that understand truth but don't understand and live truth. And I think sometimes we can be those people. I think sometimes we turn into those people, because although we understand that God is a miracle working God, we look for it for everybody else and everything else and every other situation, but we live as though it's not for us. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. I feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking to his church. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, I am a miracle working God, and I am doing miracles whether you see it or whether you don't see it. And it seems to me that it would be a good idea to get on board with what God is doing and start seeing what God is doing, start speaking what God is doing, start looking at the giants trying to stop you, trying to pull you down, trying to rail against you, to start to look at those giants and say, not today, devil, not today. My God is a miracle working God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond, even if I don't see it, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or however you say it, Joe. Even if I don't see it, I still believe it. I will not bow my knee to the prevailing thinking spirit of this world. I will take on the prevailing spirit of the living God, and I will overcome. I will see a way. I will find that God turns my darkness into light and my situation around for good in Jesus' name. So I just want to get a few thoughts out of this passage. I want to pray for people. I just feel like that the Holy Spirit wants to stir us up. There's a spirit in the world right now to say, sit down. A spirit of the world that loses its mind if you dare to suggest the name Jesus. Spirit of the world that says you can pray to or do anything you like, but don't mention Jesus. Don't bring up his name. What's he got to do with it? There's a spirit in the world that wants us to sit down. And I think possibly rightly so in some ways, because too many times we've been a bit ugly in the way that we've presented Jesus. Too often we've been too in people's faces in words, but not in deeds and not in actions. I feel like the Holy Spirit is wanting us to stand up and dare to believe for some people to see breakthroughs in our lives. I believe God is looking for the people of God to stand together and to believe the best for one another and stop pointing the finger at everybody else and deal with the issues of our own heart and begin to see where we need to make the changes to align up who we are with who he has made us to be. So here's a few thoughts that I just want to unpack. How do we get a miracle? How do we see God work in our life and through our life? Because I'm passionate to see that happen. Here's the first thing I want you to notice. There's a strange part of this passage that's there, but not anywhere else. It's a throwaway line that Luke puts in there that I feel like that he was trying to encourage us and the Holy Spirit is trying to remind us of a truth. If you go down and it's in the first little part there, and after one day as Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the law, they were sitting nearby, and it says, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. If we read the passage, we know that there was a room full. Was packed, so full that when some people brought this man to get a miracle, they couldn't get into the room. It was so full that not another person could fit in there. It was so full that it was just packed out in a hot Middle Eastern space. It was uncomfortable, I suspect. And it was in the middle of that Luke says, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Isn't it interesting that nothing appeared to be happening? That not a thing. How many times have you been in life where nothing supernatural appears to be happening? Where nothing seems to be working the way it should? Where nothing seems to be worth coming across in your life that you had hoped for? Here's what Luke is reminding us. And the Lord's healing power was present. The Lord's healing power was present. Do you know whether you see it or whether you don't see it, God is there and at work. God never leaves us and forsakes us. You've got an obstacle, you've got a giant in your life. It isn't in heaven, it's not going, oh, I didn't think about that. Well, take a number, we'll get back to you. Heaven does not work like earth. God makes all things work together for good. I'm not saying you've got to lay down. I'm saying you've got to get up. I'm saying you've got to look at the giant. You've got to look at your mountain and you've got to speak to your mountain and you've got to keep speaking to your mountain and you've got to keep speaking to your mountain. You've got to keep reminding yourself that the power of the Lord is present. People will say you're crazy. People will say give up. People will say, well, you've given people hope. I'd rather have hope than no hope. I'd rather have hope in my life than be miserable. So much of the spirit of this world says, give up, be miserable, just shrivel up and die. Die to the things of God. Just, c'est la vie, that's life. Friend, that is not life. Jesus is life. And he came to change our life. He came to give us life. He came to turn it around. Why do I know this? Because this was written at a time which is one of the most cruelest times in history to a people that were oppressed, a people that were in prison for false religious beliefs and all sorts of things, a people that, you just read Paul's testimony, I was imprisoned, I was beaten, I was, this is a people that you think, why do you have hope? Why should you have hope? It's because they knew the living God. And they reminded themselves the power of the Lord is present. What do you need to remind yourself this morning? That the power of the Lord is present. Sickness in your body, family not working out, relationships going crazy, finances going upside down, inflation, whatever, causing you issues. Whatever it is, the power of the Lord is present. I don't know how he's going to turn it around. He doesn't take us out of the world. He puts us smack dab in the middle of this world so that we can pass through this world and give glory and witness to him so that the world will know there is a God that loves them. How will the world know that there's a God that loves them if we remain silent? How will the world understand, or how will even we understand if we don't actually see that God is good and is with us? Too often, this world wants to blame God for everything. You know, the tornadoes are swept through the place. It's all God's fault, apparently. This bad stuff happened. Well, it's all God's fault. Where is your God? I'll tell you where he is. He's comforting those that are disturbed. I'll tell you where he is. He's bottling the tears. I'll tell you where he is. He's building a kingdom that will last forever. I'll tell you where he is, that there's a new heaven, there's a new earth where your tears will be wiped away, where suffering is gone, where there will be no more of the pain and the hardship. But why do we live through it? Because there is more to come of his blessing, more people to find him, more that he wants to do in and through our lives, because he loves us with an everlasting love. So the first thing I think we need to see, I think we just need to believe. We need to believe that God is with us. We need to believe that the power of the Lord is present. When you're looking at your circumstance right now, what are you saying about it? When you're looking at your family member, what are you speaking over them? When you're looking at that obstacle in front of you, what is your confession? Are you in agreement with God, or are you in agreement with everybody else? It doesn't mean you deny the reality, but it means you see through to a God that's with you, sustaining you, and is building a future for you. First thing you've got to see is believe him. Second thing you've got to do is know him. He said to that man who got him in, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. What does that really mean? It means to come into a knowledge of who God is and to be forgiven of all the things we've ever done wrong, to be made whole on the inside. Humanity is made with a hole inside of us that desperately wants to know a living God. Everything about creation screams about the power and the presence of God. Do you know, think about this. You know, you eat a meal, and you think, wow, that was an amazing meal. But have you ever stopped to think who made, not the meal, but who made the stuff that made the meal? Why did God put such amazing flavor in that meal? He could have just made it bland and ordinary, which some people tend to like. He could have done anything, but he made it so that you and I would go, what kind of God is this? What kind of God loves me? And then he made it so that wasn't just in the food I like, but in the food you like, in the food that someone else likes. He made it so that we would all have the opportunity to go, what kind of God would make a world like this that gives me so much pleasure, that gives me so much joy? What kind of God is that? Do you know, have you ever discovered in your marriage, if you have a good meal, it's always good to say to the person that cooked it, that was really good. How much better does the relationship happen? Isn't that true? Instead of going, yeah, it's all right. Bit too much salt. Not quite what I was looking for. Things don't go well in the relationships. Well, isn't that true when it comes to God? How much better would life be when we start giving thanks to God? When we stop looking at what I don't have, look at what I do have, and begin to thank Him for the things I do have, to get to know Him, to be known by Him. So many people are looking for their identity. I identify as. I don't care what you identify as. The only one that can give you your identity is Jesus. I find out who I am when I discover who He is. By focusing on me, I lose who I am. By focusing on Him, you know what I discover? Me. I discover who I am because I discovered who He is. Third thing, believe Him, know Him. Third thing I think is so important. Find friends. Have you read that passage? Four people. In this case, four men wandered along. I don't know whether they were friends of that guy or whether they tripped over him and just picked him up. I don't know. Because the Bible says that Jesus looked up and He said, when He saw their faith. Did you see it in there? When He saw their, everyone say their. When He saw their faith, not the man's faith, their faith. Not the guy on the ground, them. They're all got their head through the hole in the roof, checking out to see what's going to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just had faith that something would happen. They just believed that the power of the Lord was present. They just believed that something good was going to happen in this situation. They just put their heads down going, something good's going to happen. When everything about it was to the contrary. You just knocked a hole in someone's roof. Someone's pretty upset. The room's packed and you lowered a man on top of everybody down there. They've not only got bits of roof in their head, bits of ceiling, they've now got a man sitting on top of them. I mean, for goodness sake, everything about that situation was less than promising. But some men didn't see that. Some men didn't look at the problem. Some men looked beyond that. Some men saw something different. Some men had faith in their eyes, saw something new. Some men, oh, that we would be those people that when we look at situation, when we look at circumstance, that somebody would come along with faith. See, it's not meant to be done alone. Oh, we've turned Western Christianity's turned into my religion, my faith, my this, my that. It's never about you. People come, well, it's just, you know, that guy was shouting too much. I'm sorry, I can't help it. I just don't feel. Have you noticed the center and the focus is not on others, it's on you. When you focus on you, all you get is you. When you focus on somebody else, because you see that Jesus, the God moment in somebody else, because that is who you are. That is who you were created to be. That is what you're all about. When you see the potential of God's miracle in someone else. Friends, we're not here to do life alone. We're not here just to be these happy, clappy Christians. We're not here just to, oh, praise Jesus. We're not here just blessed for the sake of being blessed. We're here to make a difference in this world. And everybody wants to make a difference in the big things. God is looking for you to make a difference right where you are, right where you're at. You know, there's a book called Splendor in the Ordinary, written many years ago by a Catholic priest, I think from memory. And it talks about this reality. He says, you'll never find the splendor in the ordinary until you begin to live life for somebody else. How many people here were born? Good. No one's hatched in a test tube. That's good to hear. You never know these days. Do you realize you caused someone immense pain and discomfort for almost 9 months or longer? Do you realize that someone had to make a choice to give their life for you? Do you realize that no life ever comes without somebody giving up their life for that life? Then when you came out of the womb, you spent another 18, 20 years plus costing that person or persons a real lot of money. You kept them up at night. You caused them to concern and be worried. You did things without even thinking about them. No life worth living ever comes at no cost. Friends, we've got to be friends that are worth having as friends. If you want life, you've got to choose to give life. Who is it in your world that you can pray for? Who is it in your world that needs a miracle? Not you, I'm talking about your world. Who is it that you are standing in the gap for? I believe it's a season of miracles. I believe it's a time to see breakthrough. But I'm not talking about your breakthrough. I'm talking about somebody else's breakthrough so that you will get your breakthrough. It's in giving we receive. The principle of God is always like that, that as we believe for others and breakthrough for others, we find the breakthrough for us. When we focus on ourselves, when it's just about me, when it's just about mine, we lose everything. I want to be a good friend. Being a good friend costs. Being a good friend means you have to turn up when they need you. Good friends have problems at the wrong times. Good friends are only good friends because they stand by you when everybody else abandons you. If we are truly the people of God, we're meant to be good friends. Isn't that true? Who is it that the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart to be a good friend to? Well, nobody's my friend. I don't have any friends. That's because you're miserable. It's very hard to be friends with miserable people. Get some help. Find some good friends. Four guys saw a guy and decided to take him to Jesus. See, notice they brought him into community. Notice they brought him into the family. The very first thing that Jesus said to that guy was, get up, pick up your mat, and go home. Get back into community. The very thing that the guys did was bring him into community. The very thing that Jesus said for him to do straight after he got saved, he started cleaning up the things in his life, dealt with his issues, began to do what he needed to do to pick up the mess that he'd made as much as possible, that he actually was told to get back into the family. Be a friend. If we're going to see breakthrough and miracles, it's not going to happen unless we're deciding that we're going to bring it. Let's be people that bring it. Let's be people that do the fourth thing. Just keep turning up. Just keep turning up. Just keep turning up. But it's not working. Just keep turning up. But my miracle doesn't. Just keep turning up. But just keep turning up. And when you lay down, make sure you got some friends that'll pick you up. When you can't get up, that's when you need your friends the most. That's when we least want to contact our friends. That's where we as friends need to get through the barriers and pick them up. Does that make sense? If we're going to see the power of the Lord present activate in the community of faith, it will not happen the way it should happen without the people of God choosing to pay the price, to be the friends they're called to be, to step out in faith for one another, to dare to believe, to make a difference, to choose to bring others into the presence of God, and to choose to be the men and women of God that He has made us to be. Lastly, we've just got to keep giving God glory. Sometimes life just doesn't work out. But you know what? Even if it doesn't work out, God's still ready to embrace you. Even if it hasn't happened the way you'd hoped, Jesus is walking along the road to Emmaus. He's talking to the disciples. And these disciples said to him, this is after his death. He's now resurrected. These disciples don't recognize him. And he tells them, they ask them what's going on, and they turn to Jesus and look at him like, you're the only person that doesn't know. How could you not know? You don't obviously watch the news. And they said to Jesus, but we were hoping. There are seasons in life where we all live, but we were hoping. But we were hoping. That's why I need friends. That's why I need you. And that's why you need us. Because we need together to bring the hope that Jesus has that is placed in us so that the power of the Lord is present in our everyday situation. And to give God glory and to give Him praise. Because even if it didn't work the way I wanted to, God's going to make it work. That's the story of Christianity. Jesus hung on a cross. Can you imagine heaven? The Savior of the world, God, the Son, broke into earth as a child, grew up and lived amongst us. That's what Christmas is all about, to remind us of the fact peace on earth was not about world peace in that sense. It was about humanity finding rest from its endeavors to find its own way to become whole again. And He broke into this world and the angels sang and then they watched in horror as the plan did not go according to what they expected. As He was crucified, dead and buried, no hope, not a hope in the world of life. And for 3 days, that went on. And then He rose. Well, friend, I don't know what you're facing. I just know you're not facing it alone. I know the power of the Lord is present. I know there are people that God has put in your life to come alongside and to believe with you. And even though you might not know that or feel that, there are others that are carrying the burden of what's going on in your life with you. You're not alone. No one does life alone. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but I want to pray that the lights will go on, that you'll see the power of the Lord is present, that you'll see God and hope and rise again, that you'll look at your mountain and you'll look at the giant and you'll say, not today. There is a way through. That where there is no way, my God makes a way. That He can take the broken pieces of my life and make it all work together for good and cause His glory to come out of it. That the pain of yesterday or even today can turn into something beautiful, something amazing, and something good. Just like the old song sings. Father, I don't know where people are at. I don't know the giants that they seem to be facing. I do know this. The power of the Lord is present. I do know this. There is hope where there doesn't appear to be hopeless. I do know this. There is peace available when it doesn't feel like I can have any. I do know this, that there is joy can be my reality, even in the midst of my circumstance. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. I will make it to the other side. You do have a table that you make for me in the presence of my enemies, so that even in the midst of what's going on around me, I can feast in the joy of the presence of Almighty God. because the power of the Lord is present to sustain me, to heal me, to make me whole, to cause me to live again, to cause me to see again, to cause me to rise up again, to cause me to see again. May it be that this morning, to all those that hear this morning, may it be that our eyes would be open, that our ears would hear from heaven. May it be that this morning we would see our problems differently and we'd see through to the other side. May it be that we will not stay silent. May it be that we will give praise to you even in the midst of our circumstances. May it be that we would keep reminding ourselves, painted on our hearts, on our doors, on our walls, that the power of the Lord is present no matter what we face. And where the enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy, I pray he may not. And I speak it over people right here, right now. Look at me for a minute. If you need healing in your body, I can't promise you that it'll happen right this instant. But I want to believe God with you. I want to bring you into the presence of the Lord. I want to remind you that the power of the Lord is present. If you need a word of wisdom for your situation, a word of knowledge to come on in, I want to believe that God would speak to you in the midst of it. And normally that'll happen through somebody else. Someone will say something, and on the inside you'll be like, oh my gosh. Maybe you've been trying to expand your family and conceive a child, and you've never been able to do that. I want to pray for you this morning right where you're at. Whatever it is that you're in need of, we together want to bring you into the presence of God by our faith, combining together to believe for miracles to break out in this house, in this family, that would touch our community and the world. Father, for those in need of a miracle of healing, I speak health. For those in need a miracle of breakthrough finance, I speak a miraculous wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith to flow into their situation and circumstance. For others here this morning that have got broken hearts, that maybe the wounds of the past have overcome them, Lord, I pray that people would come alongside them and lift them up, that you would give them hope and strength, that, Lord, this morning there'd be a fresh commitment that we would do life together. Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, touch your people. Right now, I wonder whether you would see the power of the Lord present in your situation. See that family member giving their life to Jesus. See that person, even in jail, finding hope and freedom. Seeing the drug addict finding hope. Seeing a breakthrough miracle come into your situation. Let it be. May miracles break out amongst us because we, your people, see the power of the Lord present in Jesus' name. Amen.